You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
I already love Thursdays because we're here at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgely Drive over in Metairie. It's always nice to see my buddy John Forcade sitting in next to me to say hello. How are you?
Yes, so, man.
Driving in from Houston today through the weather.
Yeah.
You made it.
Hey, man, I left at 5 a.m. and it rained on me for a good 2.5 hours.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was ugly. It was like nighttime.
It's also nice to see. I don't know if it's really a smiling face. It's more of a, you know, the
a happy face.
You've seen Batman before.
Seen who?
The Joker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, what I mean by that is,
she ain't got a Joker.
It's a menacing smile. No,
okay.
No, no. I didn't mean facially unattractive.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying though, it's she's laughing and she's smiling. I'm just wondering if it's actually a warm and welcoming smile and laugh. Does that make sense? Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm back.
I haven't seen you in a few weeks. You've been working the night shifts here since, obviously, you stay open, too.
Well, tonight, we're open till 3.
Okay. There we go.
Kitchen's open till 2:30.
Okay.
That means you can eat your steak till 2:30.
You're a little disappointed, though, today.
Oh, because lovely Jordan isn't here today because he wants to be a little brat and sit at home.
That ain't what you called him a second ago.
Well, I can't say the other word.
Well, you did use the B word, but brat was better.
The apocalypse is coming. The weather, it shut down schools.
No,
I saw.
That's not a real thing, though.
No, I'm telling you. Schools were shut down. I mean, I saw school buses on the way over here.
Okay, well,
city government shut down. My wife's getting off early. It's on its way, so,
whatever.
You know. We erred on the side of caution, and we didn't want Jordan traveling.
He would have cried the whole time.
The causeway, you know.
He would have cried the whole time.
Wow.
He would have cried the entire
time. Look, here's the thing. It's not that I wouldn't have minded, see, if he was in peril and he survives, because I want him to Instagram that live. You know,
yes.
If there's a water spout and he happens to be driving on the causeway, roll with it. Go live.
He would have cried. He would have never been able to get out his phone.
Problem is, when most of the area is like literally shut down, it's kind of a, you know, an emergency situation. I mean, seriously, my wife's like,
you're
should tell
him
Jordan
excuses.
To stay. He was a little scared. So.
You're giving him excuses.
Well, so you think he should have been here and braved the
definitely.
Weather? Okay. All right. Well, Sarah.
I mean, he could have hunkered down over here in the kitchen or something.
He could have.
Bad weather.
He could have kept you company.
I mean, if I
company.
Have to be here, Jordan should have
He could have kept you company, huh?
All right. Well, I got things to do. I'll
see
be back
you.
Later.
Well, hold on. I need 10 seconds for me since the company just got in here. Happy hours?
3 to 7
tomorrow
every day.
Tomorrow at 5?
Tomorrow at 5, we do crawfish.
Uh-huh. And what's on Saturday night?
We don't have DJ Nasty anymore.
Done?
DJ Nasty.
Oh, but on Mondays now, we do snow crab legs.
Oh, okay.
$18. You get snow crab legs, corn, and potatoes.
Oh,
people
wow.
have been loving it.
Okay.
So, like, you should make time to come
Well,
hang
sounds
out
good.
With
and
me.
We love seeing you. There you go.
Every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah. Her and Jordan have a unique relationship.
Do they, really?
Yeah, they really do. I wouldn't even call it love-hate. It's more like, yeah, it is like Joey just said. It's one of those things that, you know, well, exactly.
Yes, okay. I'll stay out of that one.
Yeah. 800-998-1003. John, I told you as we sat here waiting for the show to start, there are some days that you know, we can find things to talk about. We'll structure a show and, you know, we'll do some homework and do that. And then there's other days where 3 hours simply is not enough, in the storylines. If you take a look at what happened yesterday, John, you had a new executive vice president of basketball operations named David Griffin, and he hit it out of the park. We'll recap that today. Then by afternoon, yes, the news was confirmed. Joe Oliva, see ya. Moving into another role, which is hilarious, right? He's like going to be like the guy that talks with donors, yet it's the people that donated the money that don't want him around. Anyway, so, well, it's because they didn't want to pay the money they would have had to pay
right.
if they pieced them out. So anyway, he's, just go back over here and make some phone calls for us. new AD, Scott Woodward. I mean, it happened quickly. It made official this morning. They've released a statement. Brody Miller, TimesPicayune.com, is going to join us at 12:15. He's the LSU beat reporter. We'll recap all of that. Will Wade, you know, coming back this week. I mean, it's been an incredible week when you look at everything. The fallout, the works, we'll do that. John, the Saints schedule released yesterday. So Larry Holder of the TimesPicayune.com is going to join us at 12:30 to go over that. I'm going to get your opinions on that in about 30 seconds. Rafael Esparza, we normally get him on Friday. No show tomorrow. It's a company holiday for Good Friday. So we're going to speak with him today at 12:45. Already, Vegas odds, what are they for the NFC, AFC title, Super Bowl, the works? All the schedules are out, so we'll get that from him. Joe Varden, he's a senior writer for The Athletic, covering the NBA. Yesterday morning, John, he put out a story that said, don't think that the first thing that David Griffin's going to do is trade Anthony Davis. It could be trying to keep him. Sure enough, David Griffin said that yesterday later around 1 o'clock when he spoke. So the person that authored that is going to join us at 105, and I want to know why he thought that immediately.
Right.
And was it a negotiation ploy? I'm going to play it for you to listen to, John, and I want your fresh take on it. Nate Osborne, going to see if we can try to get the NOLA Gold Coach. Have you been out there to check out the rugby over at your old high school?
I'll say this, not this year, but I will say that I drove by and in Hope Haven, they're letting them use their parking there now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, they had cars all
over. Yes, it is growing and growing.
You can see the stadium from Barataria Boulevard, and yes, there were some fans at the game.
Well, they're in first place. They won again this past weekend. We had a couple of players here last Thursday. Fun time with two Aussies, as they said. It's not Aussie, it's Aussies.
Aussies?
Yes, you gotta have the Z's, not an S. So what we're gonna have Coach on. We talked to him normally on Wednesday. There was just so much yesterday. I'm like, look, let's talk today. So we're gonna chat with him. And then Marlon Favre is gonna check in at 2:15. How about Keenan Lewis getting the job over at Landry Walker, being the head coach over there, former Saints?
Good for him. Yeah. You know, he's a local guy.
Yeah.
And, I think he'll do well there. You know, Walker Landry has produced some good football over the years. You know, thank God they combined to both schools,
right,
Walker and Landry. And I think he'll do well. You know, if he can get it's going to take him some time, but in due time.
Did you ever think about coaching high school?
Let's all be honest with you. I applied for the Shaw job a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I had the job.
Uh-huh.
And things changed because of my disability, NFL disability. And so I only can make so much money, and we had to figure things out. And I'm like, let's just say I go to Shaw, and 3 years later, they say, hey, it ain't working out here.
Right.
And I lose out on that pension.
Right.
The pension thing's a lot better than.
I got you.
So you
definitely thought about doing
a
little high school.
Yeah, because I'm from here. I'm from there. I went there.
Keenan. Exactly right.
Yep. So, you know, keep
so
it local.
That is a way to, and we'll try to get a hold of him. Marlon's going to help us get that done. And, again, maybe we'll do it after Easter here next week. Also, John, super excited next week, our draft show.
Yes.
Friday, 6
Looking
to 9-ish, 10-ish, whatever. we'll figure it out depending on what the Saints do.
Please don't trade up.
Well, look, even if they do, I just don't see them sitting still in the second and third round as well. So we're going to get into all of that and more. We got a ton to get into. Just initial reaction, though, 800-998-1003. Again, Brody Miller, Larry Holder, Rafael Esparza this hour, Joe Varden, Nate Osborne next hour, Marlon in hour three. But your phone calls interlaced throughout. We want to hear from you. And more importantly, we want to get your tweets as well at ESPN Radio NOLA. Jordan, go ahead and put out there, even though you're not here, you are listening. Go out. Just initial thoughts. What are your thoughts of the 2019 schedule? Not looking for predictions, win or losses, but just your initial thoughts. Because my initial thought, John, and I'll get yours here, is I looked at it and thought, boy, the start of the regular season is a doozy.
Yes.
And then you have another quote-unquote gauntlet, four straight NFC South games in a row. In the middle part, weeks 10 to 13, and that's interesting. I've never seen four straight games. We've seen towards the end of the season, the NFL likes to make it fun and interesting.
Right.
So we've seen 3 of 4, 2 of 4, whatever. We got four straight games that are going to be played in a row. So that's interesting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're gone for like 6-7 weeks. from Tampa on the road, including a L.A. game and a game in London. It was funny. Ronan Elise is already saying with the first pick of the 2020 NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's crazy. So when you think of it from that standpoint, I'm going to get to the video the Falcons made of the schedule release that kind of troll Saints fans that show a runaway Ram take out a member of a brass band when they say they're playing the Saints, and then a referee comes out of nowhere from left to right and rules incomplete for their schedule release video. Look, you know what? It's incredibly creative. I'll get them that. And, John, that's why it's a rivalry, right? I mean, I love it. It's great. They poked fun at us. I mean, think about that. It's great. You know, they showed New Orleans Saints as a home opponent. They showed the dome. And then on the banner in the bottom left, it's quick. It says Saints, and then the S disappears. So they call us Aints. And then it shows what looks like, you know, some fans, a brass band walking to the Atlanta Stadium for the game. And right there at the right corner, here comes a Ram. 100 miles an hour, just plows the saxophonist. He goes flying, and then the referee appears and does the incomplete sign. And I love it, though, because that's what makes it fun.
That's the whole object behind it. You know, you got off season, so you got to do something. You got to, you know, get it rolling because football is right around the corner. It starts next week, and then it goes on all the way through to the end.
There it is, John. Boom. There's the Ram. It's literally a ram as in the animal. And there's the referee. Incomplete. John, your initial thoughts when you take a look at the schedule. Again, just what stands out to you?
Well, let me pull it up. Well, you got it right here?
Right here.
All right, yeah, let me look. Let me slide over here. I'm going to get close to you. But
hey, you are kind of blind.
Yes,
so, yeah.
I am blind. You know, to open it up, man, you know, it's not that easy to open up. You got Houston, then you go on the road to the Rams and Seattle.
Jeff Duncan yesterday said that he expects the Saints, he said Saints officials were already looking at hotels and practice facilities. The expectation is that they stay on the West Coast. That makes perfect sense. You're going to play the Rams. Now, it's a late kickoff here. It'll be, right, you know, 1 o'clock over there. But why? Why come all the way back over here? Change the time.
Well, a lot of teams from the West, when they go play the East Coast,
right,
and they play back-to-back, they're not going to turn around, fly, and come back.
I think it makes perfect sense. Stay out there.
Well,
you're not going to practice again until Wednesday. Get your body adjusted to the West Coast time frame. Because I'll tell you what, that Rams that stretch, you got to go 2-2. I mean,
what scares me the fact you got a Monday night game, then you got a short week to go play the Rams.
Right.
You know, if it was, you know, the Raiders, somebody would be different. But it's the Rams. You know, it's Seattle, they struggle. Then you got the Cowboys at home. You know, Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. You know, at Chicago. I don't know. They talk about how good Chicago. I think Chicago's going to be okay this year. They don't scare me. You know, Arizona, so, and like you said, you got that tough after the bye week. Like you said, you got Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina, back to back to back. But look, you know, it is what it is. You got to play somebody, and you know, Saints were a very good team last year. It's a schedule they're all going to be tough. Come on, let's be honest. You know, NFL is you know, Tampa Bay might be the weak link on there. Arizona might be the weak link on there. I'm not sold on Jacksonville. But they got a tough schedule. It's not going to be easy for them at all. And I look at it as you know, the 49ers are going to be a good football club. The Colts, Tennessee Titans, Carolina. I mean, you know, Gus, in all honesty, it's you know, people say 12-4. I'm like, whoa, hold your horses. I mean, it could be anywhere from 11-5.
Yeah.
You know, 10-6 on a bad, you know.
Well, you know, and again, it's hard to look at numbers and what those records could be because things can change. I looked at the schedule last year and I said, dude, 10-11 wins would be a very nice season.
That's
if
why
you win the South, I thought.
That's why you
and
always
got. They could have gone 14-2.
Yeah, they could have.
They could have.
And I look at it like this. You have to break down all schedules. Every four games.
Exactly.
And you and I talk about it. If you can go 2-2, that's great. But boy, if you can get a 3-1 in those four games, you can go 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, that's 12-4.
I agree with you. And what's interesting is in that second slate of games, it's identical how it's set up to the first quarter of the season.
Right.
In the first quarter of the season, home, road, home. Second quarter of the season, home against Tampa, road Jacksonville, road Chicago, home Arizona. So up until the bye, it's actually mirrored exactly the same. You have four road games, and they're back-to-backs.
Back-to-back.
You have four home games, and they bracket the road games. So it is very interesting. But you look at that second slate again. Tampa, I think, is a, you know, you have better talent than the Bucs right now. Yeah. Now, I don't know what Arians is going to be able to do there, but again, I talked about that stretch that Tampa's going to be in. But that's a game I look at and go, look, the Saints should pick that up at home. Mm-hmm. Okay, they should. Arizona, man, they're rebuilding. Even if they get Kyler Murray and all that, that's a game. Jacksonville, I don't know what's going to happen there with new coach. You got Nick Foles
Foles.
You have that defense. Still, I think you're off the field, you know, off the bus on the field. I'll give you a shot there. Mm-hmm. And Chicago will be interesting, right?
Yeah, I'm still not sold yet on Chicago.
I think Chicago can pick up some games in that quarter of the season.
Yeah, especially on the road. Chicago's on the road. Jacksonville's on the
road. John, they didn't lose on the road last year.
It just goes to show you that, you know, what scares me is the fact that Monday night game, you know, because you know, you got to win that Monday night game. You open it up at home, Monday night game. And you got a short week on. I think that's ridiculous what they did to them there. If you're going to have the rematch of the no-call game, you don't do it after a short week. One team's getting an extra day of practice. But we shall see.
Well, like I said, it is interesting. You take a look at how it's set up. We'll have a lot more on that with Larry Holder, bottom of the hour. Quick break, John. When we come back, we'll talk to Brody Miller, TimespeakYouNola.com, as we'll get the latest on what's going on in LSU Athletics. A new athletic director. Boy, did it happen fast. It's Hour 1. It's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. And as it is a Thursday, we are live at Vinny's. 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie. John Ford came in with the hamburger steak. Is that what you went with? Looks good. Delicious. Again, the steak specials, $12. You get an 8-ounce sirloin, 2-pound baked potato, and a side salad. It's delicious, I promise. The wings are good here. The wrap's good. I promise you can enjoy a nice lunch here at Vinny's in Metairie. Quick break. We'll come back. You'll listen to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Everybody. Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Hey, from my drink sounds, but at Buck Event's busiest raining cash during the Spring Fest Sales Event, drive home in a new 2018 Eclipse Cross and take $4,500 off the MSRP. Or jump into a new 2019 Outlander Sport and take $4,000 off the MSRP. You want a little bit more? How about right now take $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2019 Outlander SEL with seating for 7, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now, that's how we roll during the Spring Fest at Buck Event's busiest with $4,500 off Eclipse Cross and $4,000 off new Outlander Sport and $5,000 off new Outlander SEL. Plus, all these new Barker Mitsubishi come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So come save thousands during the Spring Fest sales event only at Barker Mitsubishi in Houma. Or shop online at BarkerMitsubishi.com. Come see me, people, and remember that shrimp and laughter.
18KT 129, MSRP 2438, 2,000 villages, 2,000 factory rebates. Stock number 19T060, MSRP 2381, 3,000 village discount, 1,000 factory rebate. 19T055, MSRP 3910, 3,000 village discount, 2,000 factory rebate. We'll see CMS to deal with the details. Once he's loose evolution and MIEV, sale and save for 30, 2019.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover live at Vinny's, as we are each and every Thursday. Time to talk a little LSU athletics. Oh, it's only been a normal week, has it? Brody Miller, LSU beat reporter for NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune joins us. Brody, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much. Slow news week in Louisiana, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Look, you're going to talk to the new athletic director here in a matter of minutes, so let's get to business so then you can get to business and folks can go check out the latest piece and speak with the new athletic director. How surprising was it when the news started to really leak after the Wally Pontiff Classic game? I was getting texts and phone calls from people at the game saying they're hearing Oliva's out tomorrow, which was yesterday, Wednesday. It happens, and then within hours, if that, you have a new athletic director. How quickly did this progress?
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, I don't think anyone was too surprised by the Joe Oliva part of this. I think a lot of people have been seeing that coming for weeks now and, you know, arguably years. But yeah, the speed of the Scott Woodward situation, I think, is what surprised a lot of people, including myself. I mean, I always knew he was going to be the top target. I always knew there might be some interest. I did not think that it would be able to get done this quickly. And I'm basically a matter of days they've been talking to him. I mean, it turned around very fast. So yeah, I mean, definitely quite a bit of a surprise there. And then, but when you really think about it, I think everything just kind of added up. But to be clear, I think Scott Woodward was even a little surprised by this. I mean, for reference, he's just finishing up a brand new large house in College Station. Like, you know, that he hasn't even moved into yet. I mean, he was planning on being at Texas A&M for a long time. And obviously LSU was, from what I understand, always in the back of his mind as the goal. But he was not planning on this happening this soon.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You hear that. Speaking with Brody Miller, covers the Tigers for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. I mean, because that was my next question to you. He was happy at Texas A&M, right? I mean, you just judge by social media, Aggie fans, message boards, what have you. They are not happy he's leaving an A&M. He kind of made a quick imprint and I guess a name for himself, really, and Aggie athletics and football and basketball with their hires.
Yeah, absolutely. The people I've talked to have said, I mean, he was very happy there. He was in no rush to get out of there. I think he had a really good relationship with administration. I think he obviously, you know, brought in some high-profile coaches, so that was going well for him. I think he had a good relationship with the boosters, and I think he had a really long leash to do, I mean, for lack of a better term, kind of whatever he wanted, you know? I mean, obviously the money itself, they have more money than anyone in the SEC, but he just had a lot of, you know, I guess trust and security with what he wanted to do there. So I don't think he was, you know, clamoring to get out or anything like that. This was a matter of, this was his, you know, this is his alma mater. This is the place mm-hmm. he wants to be. This is home. And, you know, I think, I mean, you know this as well as anyone, Louisiana is one of those states where people are just, they just want to get back. And I think he just really wants to be back home. I mean, he has a camp in Grand Isle. He has an apartment in the French Quarter. I mean, he's never truly left Louisiana. Now I think this is somewhere he wants to be indefinitely.
And Brody, judging by the callers to Matt Moscona's show yesterday and just knowing being a New Orleanian my entire life, you're right. You got half of that for sure, right, in that people love to come back. And then the other half to that I would add is people love people that are from here or have ties to here. It's that simple. And you heard that a lot with Joe Oliva for whatever reason, even though as Matt brought up yesterday, he's like, some of the most successful people had no ties to Louisiana. It's about how you handle and treat people. Some of the things that were talked about yesterday that maybe doomed Oliva too is he didn't have that complete control and authority. You have to imagine for him to leave that situation in A&M, Scott Woodward was probably at least assured, hey man, do what you need to do, don't you think?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question again? You cut out for a quick moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think for him to leave A&M to come here, he probably got some assurances that he can have that maybe same kind of power that he had?
I definitely think so. I think, and I think the main thing is going to be, like you said, Oliva had a lot of flaws, and there's no doubt about that, but there are things he did really well. But at the end of the day, like you said, he didn't have much leverage anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things he couldn't get through. I mean, you talk to some coaches, they'll tell you quietly, I mean, he was a good administrator. I don't think people hated working for him, a lot of them. I think he just, you know, well, obviously he had his flaws with maybe not dealing with the media, things like that, and, you know, not really doing a good job of doing the PR work that is also Scott Woodward's strength. But yeah, he didn't have some of that leverage to pull some things he wanted to do. And I think Scott Woodward's coming in with, you know, as much juice as any athletic director in the country, you would imagine. I mean, he's coming in. He can probably, you know, just little things too. You know, it's not like he has to make some splash hires right now or anything like that. I mean, in general, most of those jobs, depending on Will Wade, are relatively secure. It's just a matter of, I think he can cut through some of those red tapes. He can get rid of some of those, you know, restrictions that coaches have to deal with. I think he's in a place where he can kind of just empower the athletic department to actually do more. And I think that's one of the biggest things he's going to be able to bring.
Final question for you, Brody, is that the biggest thing for him right now? Kind of, you used the word repair a little bit in certain areas. With the Will Wade situation, try to get the basketball program back in. I mean, in the statement, you know, he says that we're going to win championships, we're going to do it the right way. Was that kind of intended toward what happened with the whole Will Wade situation?
I don't know if I'd read into that too much, but that is a good point. I mean, he that was kind of probably intentional. I wonder how much of that is more of just kind of a PR thing you say because you are going to a place that has a scandal like this. But I'll be honest with you, I'll admit ignorance. I'm fascinated to see with how he plans on handling the Will Wade things and just kind of where he stands on it. I know from what I had heard, I mean, I think he was a fan of Will Wade. You know, I think he thinks highly of Will Wade, but I don't know where he stands on this kind of situation. I'm not sure. I think, you know, he probably, you take this job, you know, you're coming into that. So I imagine he's aware of what he's getting into and he probably has a plan for it. But yeah, I'm really interested to see that because obviously baseball is going to be secure for the next, you know, 5 years and football secure for at least probably 2 years. So yeah, basketball is really the only thing you have to watch closely, both men's and women's.
Brody, I promise you'd be off by 12:27. It's 12:26. So I'll ask you this, and then you can go bye-bye. What's the first question you're going to talk to the new athletic director about here? And again, we're looking forward to your story coming up here a little bit, but what's going to be the first question you'll ask him?
Well, I think that it won't be the first thing I ask him, but the main thing I want to ask him is kind of what we were just discussing. I mean, how do you go into – what are the things that you – come to this job planning to accomplish? What are the things that you really have on your mind that you want to have handled when you come here? Because, you know, everybody has a plan. Everyone has an ego, especially for your dream school. So what are the things you really want to jump on top of? And yeah, Will Wade's probably going to be on the top of that list.
There it is. Brody Miller at Brody A. Miller is the way to follow over on Twitter. TomSpeakUnanola.com covers the Tigers. About to speak to the new athletic director, so be sure to go check in later this afternoon and evening and see what that story is all about. Thank you, Brody. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Take care.
Yep, for sure. John, you know, when you think about it, that is true. A lot of times new athletic directors are hired and brought in because of a big hire is expected or help us with the situation. Let's just use Scott Woodward here. When he went to A&M, football program really wasn't winning, sort of, right? It's to that expectation level. Basketball, you look at baseball, things of that nature. So he comes in, makes two big hires, and Buzz Williams gets the coach that LSU wanted, Jimbo Fisher, and you saw the turnaround already in that program last year. It is unique in this situation that you almost, you see a new athletic director coming in when LSU itself on its Twitter feed the last several months has touted that they're the only school in the country that had the football team in the top 15 or 25 and basketball and gymnastics and softball and baseball, like touting athletic success. Like the only school in the country that had like multiple teams and programs in the top 25, 10, 15, whatever. And they fired the athletic director. That's unique to me when you think about it because it's not based on the success or lack thereof of the programs, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, you know, let's go back, you know, to what LSU just did. You know, there's a word called spying and surveillance. There's a word called you retired or you get fired.
Right.
So, you know, however you want to put it there. But something had to change with LSU over the years. And the reason I say this
you is felt
because,
that, huh?
The reason I'm saying this is because there was a lot of grumbling going on. And it mostly related to what? The athletic director. Every time something was happening in the athletic department, people wanted Joe out of there. They kept saying, you know, gotta get rid of him. Gotta get rid of him. He's, you know, the Les Miles debacle over the years. You know, the hiring even of Coach O. People like Coach O when you could have gone, you know, got a bigger name.
Yeah.
That.
Why didn't you lock down Tom Herman when you had him essentially agreeing in principle?
And not just that. Now it's the debacle sort of with the basketball program. But prior to that, Gus, it was all about we need a new AD. And this is not just this year, last year. This is about 4 or 5 years, people like. And I've heard it from a lot of LSU people. And you know, some of the shows I've done, everybody, you know, got to get rid of him. Just get a fresh. And it's good sometimes to get a fresh guy. Now, I don't know how long he's been there before he left. But to be able to get a local guy, Baton Rouge guy, who pretty much, I'd say he wanted to come back home, you know, because A&M's going to give more money. But I'm sure he got a decent amount of money. I think he wanted to just come back home, the Woodward guy, Scott. So with all that being said, now the question is, these coaches haven't been hired by this guy.
Right.
So what's the deal with, you know, right now everybody's looking at the baseball coach right now. You know, I don't want to care what anybody said. You can't keep losing midweek games to lower-tier guys and get knocked out of the first round. They're going to be looking at him. This new guy come in saying, wait a second here, you know. We should be playing for the World Series. Wade's going to be okay because he did a very good job.
I am interested to see how that goes. And
so
again,
anytime you bring in a new AD who doesn't hire, like in professional, yeah. You bring in a new general manager who didn't hire the coach that's already there. Right. That coach looking over his shoulder.
Which, to your point, we'll get into here at the top of the hour, the fact that David Griffin, as we go to break here, kept Alvin Gentry and kept some of the staff members. Ought to show you and tell you it's because of that relationship. You talk about that relationship. You didn't have any if you didn't hire those coaches. David Griffin kept Alvin Gentry because he's worked with him in the past. And he says, we can work together to do it. It's all about relationships because that's why I brought that up. It is interesting. LSU's athletics has had success. They've had a successful academic year.
No doubt about it.
You know, from the start of August to now, their teams have won. They have been ranked high and the athletic directors no more. It is interesting when you look at it like that. Let's talk a little bit more on the schedule. Larry Holder at The Athletic will join us. What does he think? What are his thoughts when you look at it? Want yours as well. 800-998-1003, RDS Band Radio NOLA. We're live at Vinny's. John Forkay, Gus Kattengell. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things. Our commitment to quality and your satisfaction. Both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now, get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus for $27.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food. Come and enjoy their delicious lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Cinco de Mayo celebration is the best party on the bayou. El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland will be featuring a live mariachi band for 3 days from May 3rd to May 5th. Don't miss the $2 cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close all 3 days at El Paso Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotel,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Here in New Orleans Saints. Interesting schedule, to say the least. Gus Kattengill, John 4K, we're live at Vinny's. Larry Holder of The Athletic, at Larry Holder, is the way to follow over on Twitter, joins us to give his thoughts on the schedule as it was released fully yesterday. Larry, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, yeah, and that schedule, get through those first four games and everything looks kind of manageable. You would have thought last year that the Saints' first four games were manageable, and they decided to make it a little hairier. So you never really kind of know how a schedule is going to pan out until you actually start playing the game.
You know, Larry, you take a look at, and John and I looked at it in the opening segment, you look at the season in quarters, and, you know, you try to see how it kind of shapes up there. The bye is a perfect at the end of eight games when you look at it. And the quarters mirror one another. You have a home game, back-to-back road games, home game. Home game, back-to-back road games, home game. So that's something that sort of stirred out to me, those first four games. And then you look at that third quarter, four straight NFC South opponents in a row. Normally we've seen something like that, three of four, two of four to end the season. Are you surprised to see four straight division opponents?
Yeah, I am. But it's always, you look every year, they got some the scheduling quirks to however they use their computers and formulas. But it just happened to be that way this year. And you look at, a lot of people are going to look at the first four games and be like, whoa, that's a tough stretch. But I almost look at that that third quarter of the season, it's almost like Amen Corner, Masters. It's where you kind of
like
start
that.
Making moves. Yeah, it's kind of where you go into the back nine and you got to start making some moves. So that's definitely a spot where if the division is kind of jammed up and you go really strong in that stretch, you're gonna move ahead and be in pole position as the final quarter of the season moves along. So, you know, you could look at it as a kind of a negative thing, but, you know, if you win those games, it's certainly a positive spread.
Hey, Larry, John here. My question to you is this, and don't lie to us. How many times you sat around looking at the schedule and saying, okay, this is what the Saints are going to be this year, 12-4, 11-5. What is your prediction? Because I know you went over the schedule and was saying, okay, this is a win. It's a win, maybe a win, maybe a loss. What do you think the Saints are going to do this year?
What's funny, John, I actually, truly, honestly did not go through and pick game by game. I just looked at it as a whole. And said, man, if you go 2-2 in that first stretch, you better win 10 games. I mean, that's kind of the thing. I didn't be like, loss, win, but I'm thinking it's okay to go 2-2 through the first four games. Are they capable of beating every one of those teams on a given day? Sure. But look, just to be conservative, say 2-2, and then you go the rest of the year, I would think the Saints would win at least eight of those games. So, that's being conservative. I mean, they better win 10 games with the strength of the team and the way the schedule maps out. So I'm saying 10 wins at the worst. And people are probably thinking, oh, Larry, 12. I get it. They could go 12-4, 13-3. Yeah. I understand that. I'm just saying 10 wins. If I'm Vegas, in my eyes, I'm going over-under 10.
Larry, I'm with you in a lot of – look, last year I looked at that schedule and I said 10-11 wins you the division. Just get in the postseason and hopefully you can, you know, at least host that first game in the postseason, whether it's a wild card, whether it's the second-round game, and let's see what shakes out and happens. I really honestly feel that way. And, again, just looking at it, it's just – look, last year they didn't lose a game on the road. That's going to be tested this year. They got three sets of back-to-backs. So you got the back-to-backs – in the first and second quarter, and then, Larry, they end the season at Tennessee, at Carolina. So the Saints will be tested really on the road, to me, I think, this year.
Yeah, their road schedule is not a cupcake by any means. At Chicago, at the Rams, at Seattle, and who knows how Carolina's going to be, but at the end of the season, like I said, Tennessee's probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot at that point. So your road games are no picnic. And so, you know, you could – you stub your toe in some of those games, and, of course, you go to Atlanta on Thanksgiving night, and we've seen wacky things happen in Atlanta sometimes. So that is definitely going to be tested. So let's reverse it. Guess what? The Saints better win at home. You know, don't lose as many games at home as you did last year. I mean, I know one was just a whatever game at the end of the season. But still, you got to take care of business at home because it's not going to be a given that you win all your games on the road.
You know, Larry, when you look at the schedule here, what teams, I know that the typical teams, the Atlanta, Carolina, other than the South, what team you think on this schedule is, you know, I know we could talk about the Rams, you know, but give me a couple teams you think that the Saints got to win. I'm looking at two right now, but, you know, what do you take at? Pick two teams that they really, not the division, but outside the division, you know, I'm going to say, I think they got to beat the Cowboys at home. And I think they need to start off the beginning of the year and win that Houston game at home Monday night. What's your take on that?
Oh, I would agree with you there. And the Saints are already a pretty significant favorite against the Texans in the Dome. So that's, you know, they're expected to win that. I think just mentally, you got to split the Rams and the Seahawks. I mean, you got to at least split that. Of course, the Rams, we all know the storyline that's going to go in there. And I think my theory is that for at least a good thing for the Saints, you get that game out of the way week two. That storyline doesn't hang over your head. And you move on with the rest of your life, and that's done with. Like Minneapolis Miracle, they played the Vikings last year, week six? They won that game. That storyline disappeared. But, yeah, the no call will disappear quickly, and that is a positive for the Saints. But I think they need to at least split that. Those are two tough road games. One is Seattle is not as good as the Rams, but the venue's crazy. And, of course, the Rams are still going to be one of the best teams in the NFL, even though I think Saints fans are going to go in droves and try to take that over and be a home game. But you got to. I think it's pretty important to split one of those two games, especially because I would expect both of those two teams to be in the mix in the NFC, and that's early jostling for tiebreaker scenarios that are outside of your division.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Larry Holder, The Athletic. Two final things for you, Larry. You mentioned, and John, you brought up the Texans here. Look, one storyline going into it, OTAs, minicamp, training camp, going into week one. Dude, 2013, the last time the Saints won a regular season opener. I know they've made the postseason the last 2 years, but they've started out with an L to start the season since then. Yeah, you got to turn, to me, doing that would go a long way, right?
You would certainly think so. And just remember last year, they were a boneheaded decision by Cleveland not to start Baker Mayfield and an awful kicker at Cleveland away from being 0-2. I mean, they should have lost Cleveland at home, which is, unheard of. But yeah, they need to start with some sort of positive momentum. And I just think also mentally, I mean, it's one thing to overcome the Minneapolis Miracle, but you need to mentally still try to overcome the no-call. And, you know, it's not easy to do it twice. I mean, they did it last year, and they deserve all kinds of credit, but, boy, they got to have to do it again mentally. And to start off well would certainly be paramount for the Saints.
Well, especially it's a Monday night football game, and you know, coming off of what happened to us at the end of the season last year, the no call, you can't go into this. Look, they cannot lose that Monday night game and go on the road on a short week to the Rams and then turn around and play the Seahawks. You can sit there and say, wow, if they lose that first game, they could be 0-3. I don't want to sit there and say they are, but that's a strong possibility. They can start out 0-3 if they don't get that first game of the season.
I mean, that is why everyone pointed at the beginning of that schedule. And, and it sounds like the Saints are going to try to stay out on the West Coast between weeks 2 and 3, which I think is absolutely what they should do. Dale Benz is not going to spare any expense when it comes to the Saints. If they say to do it, they should do it and not blink. And so I think that's probably what's going to happen. Just to make sure they're in the best possible shape to make that happen. But, yeah, John, you're right. I mean, don't lose that first game because you lend yourself to being susceptible to 0-3. And that sounds like it might be crazy. But, look, the NFL is a tough job. Those are some good football teams that can be playing. So, it goes back to that fast start. So the Saints have got to buck the trend, like Gus just said, but bring it back to they haven't won a week one game since 13. They've got to buck that trend just to get themselves in the right shape.
Yeah, you know, and then conversely, you can look at it the other way, Larry. They go do that, and they stay out there to get their minds right. They take care of business. They come back home to face the Cowboys 3-0. I mean, now people are booking tickets. I mean,
even if it's 3-0 or 2-1, that's still
it goes a long way to really set the rest of your season out. Larry, my final question for you, man, and you can enjoy that nice Easter weekend coming up. LSU getting a new athletic director. How sort of been will Wade reinstated? Joe Oliva, go make calls to the donors. You know, Larry, how weird has this week sort of been in LSU athletics? You cover the Tigers as well. Will Wade coming back, the AD being told to go hang out with donors, even though it's those donors that probably forced them out. A new athletic director's name almost immediately, a Baton Rouge guy, a Tiger guy. Just your thoughts on now Scott Woodward being the athletic director.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, you don't make all that happen immediately, so this has certainly been back channel work. But the ultimate decision kind of went down, sounded like Tuesday night, but it was all in the works, and they had Scott Woodward ready to go. And it's the double celebration for LSU fans, because you get rid of a guy that a lot of people didn't like even before he walked in the door, because he's known for being, bungling the Duke lacrosse scandal. I mean, so that follows him in here. And so people had bad opinions of him walking in, and he did not endear himself as much as he should have. And that's why people were on him. And he's bungled so many other things while he was at LSU, whether it's real or perceived, he's the one who gets the egg on his face. And so you bring an exact 180. You bring in an LSU guy, a Baton Rouge guy, someone who makes big hires and goes after big-time names. Look, Scott Woodward's the guy who tried to take Dave Aranda away. He's the one who took John Chavis away. He's the one who got Jimbo Fisher, not LSU. So he's the guy who tries to make things happen. And so I think LSU, I'm surprised, even though bad weather's on the way, they're saying, screw it, we're going parades today. Get the floats out. Let's get crazy.
Indeed, LSU Florida first pitch moved till 8 p.m. to allow that rain to move through. Larry, thanks so much for joining us, man. Go enjoy an Easter weekend. Thank you for your time, as always.
Hey, Larry.
All right,
thank you, buddy.
John, good talking to you guys.
Larry Holder at Larry Holder on Twitter, sports columnist for The Athletic. Go follow them as well at The Athletic. NOLA, Will Guillory, part of that as well. We'll speak with him next week and get his thoughts on the Pelicans. Quick break. We'll bring in Mr. Vegas, Rafael Esparza. John, you might be paying attention, I'm sure, to what Rafael has to say.
Always when it comes to putting those dollars on some games.
Sports Hangover live at Vinny's, as we are each and every Thursday, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. The steak special every Tuesday and Thursday. Crab legs now on Monday. Crawfish boil 5 p.m. on Fridays. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. So let's see. Home and Tractor would like to thank everyone who attended our John Deere Drive Green event and made it a great success. We are also announcing continued savings through April 30th on all John Deere tractors, zero-turn mowers, and Gator utility vehicles. Special discounts, ride-and-drive demo discounts, and special financing apply. There is no better time to buy a new John Deere. Remember, all special discounts will be available till April 30th. Home and Tractor, your locally owned John Deere dealer, specializing in sales, parts, and service.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return to play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you?
Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the sports hangover with Gus Cattingill.
There's a long line of weather, John Forkade, and not only starts down here, but goes all the way up north. Tulane taking on Memphis. They will not start today. They are going to play a doubleheader tomorrow. I'm sorry, tomorrow 4:30. Will be the game one, and then a doubleheader scheduled to begin at noon on Saturday so they can come back home. So that's why with Easter, all these weekend series are starting today. LSU moved from 6:30 to 8 because of the weather, and in Memphis, they're not even playing today, not even attempting it. They're starting tomorrow at 4:30. Let's bring in Mr. Vegas, Rafael Esparza at VSI Sports.com. I'm eventually going to get that, Rafael. What's going on, man?
Man, one of those mornings already?
Yeah, you know how it is. VSI Doc Sports. Look, man, the schedule came out. How busy have you been, obviously, looking through the numbers and the different odds already?
I mean, the schedule came out yesterday and ruined my evening as I was watching the Cubs sweep the Miami, watching some playoff NBA. Playoff NHL, and then, of course, the NFL has to flex their muscles, and now the sky is falling when they released their schedule yesterday. So thanks a lot, NFL. But, I mean, some interesting matchups. We already put week one odds up, so a lot of people are jumping in on that. Saints opened up 6.5 on Monday night against Houston, and buckets of money came in on the Saints. It's now up to 7.5, totals 54. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest lopsided numbers we have right now is a lot of money on the Saints coming in. Like I said, moved a full point in less than 24 hours.
Well, I'm definitely running over to the Mississippi Coast.
John was fist pumping as he said that.
I'm running to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and try to get a quick bet in and get it done now. I'd give up 7.
Okay, look, let me ask you this. You started with the Saints, so we'll start with there. You look at that schedule, 3 sets of back-to-backs. The first 4, pretty tough. Then you got that third quarter of the season out of the bye, straight division opponents there, and then you end the season on the road. What are your odds on the season? How many wins?
16-0. I mean, why not? You guys boycotted the Super Bowl. I'm boycotting the NFL draft. They're 16-0. I mean, I really, really quickly when I looked at their schedule, I mean, I see double-digit wins out of them. Now when I break it down, I mean, we haven't gone through the draft. There could be some trades still going on, injuries and all that. But I would think, I would say anywhere between 10 double-digit wins, maybe 10-6, 11-5. I'm looking at both of those. But like I said, we're in April. Today's April 18th. And it just blows my mind that September 9th is the kickoff of the Saints. And today's April. And we're talking about this. The Tampa Bay Lightning got swept. The best team in NHL. And we're talking about the NFL schedule.
Yes, absolutely we are. So when you take a look at the rest of the division here, the Falcons put up their nice little pretty video. Ain't that nice? The Ram taking out a brass member with the referees ruling incomplete. But when you look at the NFC South, what do the odds look like there? I'm saying it's a battle, again, between the Saints and Falcons.
Oh, yeah. It's between them. Maybe Carolina, but how healthy is Cam Newton going to be? I mean, Tampa, I have no worries with Tampa Bay. I think the bottom of the cellar of the NFC South is going to be a battle between Tampa and Carolina. It's between Atlanta. I liked the video. I thought it was – I mean, boy, who had to do that? That's a lot of work that they had to do that. For that schedule. I kind of enjoyed that. I thought it was a little funny. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's the Saints to lose Atlanta. I would think if they are, maybe they're playing for a wild card spot. I don't see them jumping ship unless we see some injuries, of course. Again, we're talking April 18th about who's going to win NFC South. But right now, if kickoff week one was this weekend, the Saints easily are probably be the huge, 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 huge favorite to win the NFC South.
It's John here. Let me ask you a question here. In the overall aspect of the NFL right now with all these scheduling of the games, some of these teams, I was just looking right now, the Oakland Raiders have to travel the furthest mileage, what, 35,000 miles this year. These teams that are traveling, the Raiders, what's your take on the Raiders? Because I heard they're playing seven games at the 1 o'clock time zone in the East. So what's your take on the Raiders right now? Because I'm kind of curious about the Raiders, and are they an up and coming team, or should we just say, nope, they're still back in the pack?
They're still back in the pack. I mean, Kansas City improved, LA improved, Denver's improved. I mean, like, been living in Vegas for over 20 years, where right now it's a Golden Knights city, and I feel bad for the Raiders. I think their first year they're going to be in Vegas, they might have just 5 wins. I sat next to the owners of Oakland Raiders and their advertising and marketing the last time I went to a Golden Knights game, and they asked me personally what I thought about their team, and I said I felt bad for them because now everyone thinks the Raiders need to go to the playoffs, need to go to the Super Bowl, just like the Golden Knights did in their first season. Raiders will probably have 4 to 5 wins. I mean, they have a lot of one. I mean, Detroit, 1 o'clock game. Bengals, 1 o'clock game. I mean, Titans, 1 o'clock game. Jaguars, 1 o'clock. Their schedule, time slot alone, you said it, is brutal. I would be shocked. I'll give them one extra win. I think they get 5 wins.
Well, the reason I brought it up is that how long do you think they're going to stick around with John Gruden? If they don't win this year, you say they go to Las Vegas next year, maybe 5 or 6 wins. You think Gruden's the answer there?
They'll give Gruden 1 year in Vegas. And if they flop, let's say 3-4 wins in Vegas, I mean, they fire UNLV basketball coaches left and right, so they'll get rid of Gruden. I mean, I feel bad for all those teams because the success the Golden Knights did for the first season in Vegas is going to hamper a lot the Raiders if they ever get an NBA team. The AAA team, the Aviators, they're going to be in jeopardy if they start losing games right away. Blame the Golden Knights for Vegas's high-pumped sports town now.
Speak with Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas at VSI Doc Sports. We're going to follow him over on Twitter. All right, look, I still think, John, I don't know how you feel about this, but Kansas City is my favorite in the AFC. In the NFC, I saw Deion Sanders last night say he likes the Saints. What are the early Vegas odds? What's your AFC-NFC championship game and who you like in the Super Bowl? I know it's April 18th, but I'm asking you.
I would like to see Drew Brees go to one more Super Bowl. I think we all can agree he's got 1-2 years at the max. Right now, Saints 4-1 to win the NFC Championship. The Rams plus 350. The Rams defense could have holes too. I heard his contract talks are not even close. I mean, that could be a big hole in the Rams defense. Don't sleep on the Bears. Don't sleep on the Cowboys, the Eagles might be a little bit different. But I think I'm going to put three teams in. I know people are going to say, what about Green Bay? They're 10-1, but I don't see them. I'm going to put three teams in NFC for the watch, Rams, Saints, Bears. I'm going to say Saints right now on April 18th.
Wow. How about the AFC?
That's close. I mean, I disrespect Tom Brady and the Patriots every year, and every year they just give me the middle finger and make it to the Super Bowl, and I have to eat crow just like I had to eat crow with Tiger Woods winning. I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to put the dark horse on. I'm going to say the Pittsburgh Steelers do the DX to everybody in the AFC, especially all the people they lost, and say they got two words for you, and I say they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow. I think Pittsburgh's going to have a good year. Right. There's no doubt. I think they got a good football club. They got some good players. You got to put Kansas City up in there, but somehow I don't think Kansas City's going to quite get there. And you got to always keep them Patriots hand distance away because they can always surprise you.
Well, there you go. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports. We're going to follow over on Twitter, and someday soon we'll see him again face to face. Thank you, Rafael.
Take it easy, guys. Have a great rest of the week, and have a great Easter.
You too, yeah, Rafael. Thank
friend.
You.
You too. You know, don't you find, I don't know, I don't see a lot of Kansas City in my timeline.
Yeah, I'm not, I just threw him in there because of the fact of the quarterback.
Yeah.
But somehow Andy Reid can't win the big games. He just chokes, and there's going to be some other teams.
Let's talk a little bit more about this in hour two. I just need 5 seconds before we go to the break here, right? If the Chiefs don't make the Super Bowl, is Andy Reid in trouble?
I think he is.
Hour two coming up, we'll lead off with Joe Varden. He's a senior writer for The Athletic over the NBA. He's covering tonight's Nuggets-Spurs game. He wrote yesterday that the new executive vice president of basketball operations for your New Orleans Pelicans, his first job into think about the trade of Anthony Davis to keep him. I'll ask him why he wrote that next on ESPN New Orleans. I have whiskey on the rocks to change another bottle.